The reason I want us to read it together, that's a better way to say it. The reason I want us to read it together and discuss it is because this is Paul, it's closer to any letter I know he wrote that sounds like a journal, that sounds like a diary, that sounds like his heart's own reflection about what God is doing through him and how he's having to adjust to different people and different demands and different challenges. It fits with what we're going through, I believe. It fits with what we're going through, all right? In a minute, I'm going to show you the verse that I'm going to keep referring to over and over again, but in a minute, we're going to talk about what life's really like for us and see how it matched what was really like Paul, life was really like for Paul, and then how we can benefit from his journal, from his diary. All right, you got 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. What does it say? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Everybody spot it. Got it? I want everybody looking. We're going to thank God for what? For his indescribable gift. Now, tell me what indescribable means. You can't describe it. So it's interesting to me. That matches some other things we've studied. I want to see if you can pick those up. There's an indescribable gift. There's also an immeasurable love that we can't measure. There's an what does it say? You cannot comprehend it. And he says, I want you to comprehend it. Give me another one. Peace that passes understanding. So it fits with a lot of different things. We are in a situation. Situation is the right word. We are in a relationship. Better word. We are in a relationship to which there is just unbelievable, indescribable peace that passes understanding, love that's uncomprehensible. That's the kind of situation, the kind of relationship, the kind of church you're in. So today we begin to thank God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now real quick, describe it. And not theory, not theology, personal, specific, an indescribable gift you've been given from God that's just impossible to describe. It's indescribable. Your family, what?
The daughter.
You are the daughter of the King. The indescribable gift, what is it? For you, what is an indescribable gift you have? Not in prison and have Ariana. Indescribable gift. Grandkids. I like that. This is our go-to. Last call. Indescribable gift. There you go. And how much she's enjoying John right now. Yeah. I'm glad. No. Don't stop. Now, here's the point. And we're going to come back to it over and over again. I'm going to wear us out with it. We are in that relationship. We are in that place. We are in that situation. You pick the word. We are in that kind of church. We are in a place where we have indescribable gifts from God. Now, does that mean that there are no troubles? Does that mean that there are no troubles? You're distracted. Does it mean that there are no troubles? No, that's, we don't have to think theory. And I, You're thinking, well, of course there's troubles, but I heard it yesterday. What's wrong with my faith? What's wrong with my relationship with God? I keep having all these troubles. What do we do? What did we just do? We let our circumstances determine our relationship with God. Folks, you can't do that. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. Cannot do that. Cannot do it. You can't do that. Why? They're not connected, y'all. Do we have an indescribable gift from God? Are we loved and blessed by His unfailing love? Yes, 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 yes. So His love doesn't fail. So when things are going tough in my life, does it mean that God has turned His back? Does it mean that God doesn't love? Does it mean that God has pulled away? No, 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 no. Now, here's where we start the exercise. Look in chapter 1. Chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're reading the journal. We're reading the diary. We're reading the blog. I don't care what you want to call it. Except don't call it Facebook. Read it. You're reading the heart of the Apostle Paul writing to a church that has caused him incredible joy and incredible grief. And he writes to them a second letter. Verse 3, we're going to read to verse 11. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you a patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be misinformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from deadly peril, and He will deliver us. And on Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the precious favor God granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Now God bless the reading of His Word, but let's hold on to these thoughts. Were there troubles for Paul? Were there troubles for the people he was writing in Corinth? Yes. Now, we don't have to know the Bible, read the Bible to know that there are troubles, because we live them. Our first exercise is this, and then we pray. Our first exercise is this, and then we pray. What are the troubles? What are the things that are causing you grief? That's his word. What are the things that are causing you to suffer? What are the situations? What are the people? What are the problems? What are the troubles that are causing you to need comfort or to feel despair or to making you want to give up? I'll let you talk. What's the trouble? What's the stress? What's the anxiety? What's the despair? Go ahead, Bob. Did you notice the difference in those two? What's the difference in the two concerns we just heard? The two troubles we just heard? Yeah, one's taking place here and mentally, and the other one is someone that you can care about, you can love, but you can't change. You're gonna have, with our own children, don't they have their own mind? They've got their own battles going. What's your trouble, Darla? Oh, thank you for being honest about that. We'll stop there, I understand there's a lot more troubles out there. There's a lot more grief out there, a lot more despair out there, and we're going to lay those burdens down, hopefully, and hear something from God that'll bring us comfort. But don't forget, these are great illustrations of it. There's a battle we fight against our own deceptive heart. There's a battle we fight for the care when we care about other people and we've got no control over them. And then there is that battle we fight in both of those worlds where we look at how people see us and that affects how we see ourselves and vice versa. And then what the resulting, either depression or arrogance, despair or, you know, defeat comes because of how we perceive others perceiving us. Let's seek God's comfort. Let's pray this prayer and then we'll study.
Burdens down, every
All right, Paul said three reasons God gave him comfort. So we take heart in the thought that God gave him comfort. God gave him comfort through his troubles so that, you tell me, look at verse 4, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. So we start there. Now, folks, this is not Bible study to give you one more verse to quote. This is Bible study that puts these words into practice. Some of us have been given comfort about our children. Some of us have received comfort from the Lord about our children. What was the comfort? What was the comfort? What did we learn as we went through that comfort that we could share with someone else that has trouble with their children?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
took a sideways path just to, things to make you think about. And one of the things we made you think about was the difference between what he had grown up with, his family life in the church, and what she had grown up with, which was very different, and which was probably what he and she would have gravitated to. And at least in part, I think that's what really resonated with him, where he eventually did get out of that relationship, and now he is married to the most wonderful girl that we could imagine for him.
Good to hear.
And let me add
good
another piece of that. We couldn't speak directly, but they were able.
Yeah, and I think there's where we find some comfort. If you're struggling with children, and several of us are, several of us have children who are in not good places as far as the Lord concerns. Some of us have children who are not in good places with legal concerns, with addiction concerns. There's just all kinds of things. There's troubles out there. You may not be able to be the one that has a direct influence. You may have to trust God to bring others into their life. It's one of the things, especially for those of you who have younger children, I'd encourage you, start right now introducing your children to people that you trust, people that will be a good influence on them. I did it with mine. Two of the guys are in here because I talked to both Sherry and David, and I said, you can always tell me anything. You can talk to me about anything, but if there comes a time you can't, I want you to talk to Bob and I want you to talk to Lynn. Both of those guys will love you. They will not come and tattle on you to me, and they'll give you advice that comes from the wisdom of God. So sometimes that you help somebody by bringing somebody else into their life. Something else we heard here is sometimes it's just time. It's just time. How long was Joseph in that jail? In all those years, somebody would have known him. His daddy thought he was already dead. So can you think that everything is lost? Can you despair for them and God still recover them? My mother, even on her deathbed, was believing and therefore praying that the boys that she had taught, the boys that she had raised, knowing it, Jesus, would one day come back to Jesus. She died with that hope in her heart. I'm not going to let go of that either. All right? Troubles. Some of us have had real trouble. And it's not unique to people who've had public shame, but it is very, very powerful trouble, attack from Satan. When you've had a public sin and a public shame, how people perceive you, what Darla was talking about. What comfort did you receive from the Lord? What comfort did you receive from the Lord that would then in turn be able to comfort Darla? Well, first of all, does anybody else have that struggle? Anybody else have that struggle where you look at people how they look at you and it affects the way you feel about yourself? Michael, any kind of help, any kind of comfort, anything you've learned and you may not even be able to experience it yet or practice it yet, but you know it's true. Darla, I don't know anybody. I'm sure there's other folks that have had this struggle, but it's the one of the biggies for me, because my life was so public, and then my sin and shame was so public. To this day, I will meet people that I haven't seen since that was 15 years ago, and I'll meet people, and my first reaction is I wonder how they're going to react to me. Let me give you a verse. Write it down. We won't study it, but write it down. 1 Corinthians 4. This same man writing to this same church in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 will say, God requires us to be faithful. It's 4:1 through verse 3 and 4. But he says, I care very little if I'm judged by you. Since God is the one I'm assigned to please, since God is the one that I'm called to please. He said, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. So if God sees me as good, if God sees me as wonderful, if God sees me as precious, if God sees me as faithful, you just fill in the blank. If God sees me as loved, if God sees me as masterpiece, if God sees me that way, if somebody else doesn't see me that way, fill in the blank. If God sees me as faithful, if God sees me as masterpiece, if God sees me as wonderful, and some, there you go. God said it, that settles it. And if God sees me that way and someone else doesn't, they are wrong. They are wrong. You've heard me tell the story about Lily calling and saying, Papa, that little boy said I was mean and bossy. She was probably bossy, not too mean. But I asked her if she was. Had you been bossy and mean? And her response was, no. She was very adamant with me. I said, well, good. He must have been talking to some other little kid named Lily. If somebody says something about you that's not true, then it's not you, right? All right. We receive comfort from the Lord. We receive comfort from the Lord so that we can comfort others. Folks, coming to church is not just to receive it. Thank God we receive it. But it's to do what? It's to share it. How many times have we sat in church, come on, get it, I need it. And I'm all for that. I need it. But it's not just for me to receive it. It's for me to share it. And in this moment, last call, how do we help somebody who's battling their deceitful heart? Anybody in here ever have trouble with their heart? I can remember people being upset with me using the phrase. Of course, Jeremiah's the one that told me it was a deceitful heart. Because we've grown up in a culture that says, trust your heart, follow your heart. My own granddaughter was wearing a t-shirt the other day that says, don't follow your dreams, chase them. And I said, you make sure that dream, by dream you mean the Lord's dream for you, not some feeling you get in your heart. Because what happens when you start chasing or following those? Follow your heart. Man, don't chase fantasies, Proverbs 28 says. All right? So somebody tell me, how do you help? I saw your hand. All right, somebody tell me, Lacey said that during a time when lies were just flooding her heart, she put together a booklet of scriptures that would address those particular lies, those particular attacks. Tell me the biblical, and you got to get this, the biblical reason, that's such a powerful exercise. Somewhere we're taught to do something just like that. 2 Corinthians 10, take every thought captive. It's guarding your heart, Proverbs. I was thinking also Ephesians 6. What quenches, what extinguishes the fiery darts of the evil one? The shield of faith. And my faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So, Catherine, and anybody else who deals with a deceptive heart, let me encourage you, get with somebody who's struggled with that, get with somebody who's you think is overcoming that, and give them those lies. Be honest enough to say, here, it's telling me this, I'm feeling this, I'm thinking this, and let somebody help you build your own scripture book, build your own shield, so that when that starts to happen, you can flip open, there it is, and constant extinguishing of those darts will eventually give you some comfort. Some comfort then that you can pass on to somebody else. Principle in AA is true. If you want to stay sober, help somebody else get sober. You want comfort? Help somebody else find comfort. Right? Now keep reading. Look at the second. We're going to look at the second reason. He said, God comforted me so I could comfort you. Now look at the next, verse 9 and 10. This happened. This circumstance, this horrible despair happened to teach him something. What was it? That we must not rely on ourselves, but on God. Now, stop a second. Stop a second. Isn't that the comfort? Isn't the comfort is that I can rely on God and I don't have to rely on me? Because if I'm relying on me, guess where I'm headed? Where am I headed? If I'm relying on me, where am I headed? I'm in trouble. I mean, I'm headed to divorce. I'm headed to depression. I'm headed to addiction. I'm headed to jail. I'm headed to homelessness. I'm headed to death. That's where I'm headed if I rely on myself. But if I rely on the Lord, and sometimes I go through those troubles, sometimes the comfort that I receive while I'm going through those troubles is I can't do this. I've got to have Him do this. He said, we despaired even of life. I never have been in a situation where I thought, okay, I'm going to die. But I have been in a situation where I wanted to die. And I despaired of this life. What was God trying to teach me? What was God trying to teach me? What was God trying to teach me? Rex, it's my life, it's not yours. You trust me, rely on me. Now keep reading. What does he say that, how does he describe the God that is going to, that we rely on? How does he describe the God he wants us to rely on? Who raises the dead. I love this, folks. If Jesus can raise the dead, if God Almighty can raise the dead, what can he do with me? There you go. If God can raise the dead, what can he do with my circumstance? Well, you just don't understand, man. I've lost everything. I understand. You still breathing? That means it's not over yet. There's still hope. Because can God raise the dead? So even if you weren't breathing, God can still take care of this. You don't know all that God can do. If God can raise the dead, look, what can he do for you that's less than that? We said it a jillion times in here. If God can turn a dirt clod into a man, what can he do with a man who acts like a clod? Right? If God can take a rib from side and make a woman, what can he do with a woman who's a pain in the neck? Side, I mean. Did you hear that?
We have a resurrection God. That's who He is. He can raise us up from whatever depths, whether it's something of our own creation, which most often it is, or whether it's someone else trying to do with people.
And you think about it, folks. If God had a business card, what does He specialize in? Raising the dead. I mean, he specializes in life. He is the author of life. Are you messed up? Are you in trouble? You cannot see a way out of it? And it may be financial. It may be moral. It may be chemical. It may be legal. It may be emotional. Whatever that despair is, whatever that despair is, we rely on God who raises the dead. Now keep reading. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. Past behavior is the best indicator of future behavior. Past, what did God do for us? He delivered us. Future, He's going to deliver us. Keep reading. And on Him we have set our hope. Underline it. We have set our hope. Now, folks, that's our responsibility there. God's already proven he can do it. God's already done it over and over and over and over again. Not just in the Bible, he's done it in my life. So if he's done it in my life and he's done it with all these other lives, why would make me think he can't do it today? So I set my hope on him that he will, underline it, continue to deliver us. He is not going to let you down. He is not going to give up on you. Don't give up on him. So what's the result of that? What's the result? What's the last so that? What's the last therefore? What's the last so then? Give thanks. Give thanks where? Say it. On our behalf. Give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor that was granted to us by your many prayers. So what should I be doing? Don't miss it. What should I be doing? Giving thanks. And also praying. Praying for people to be comforted. Praying for people to be delivered. Praying for people to turn from the direction they're going to find their way to rely on God. And then giving thanks for the fact that God has delivered you and that God has delivered them. Best place to start that, I think, let's start with the greatest gift God ever gave us, the indescribable gift that God gave us when he gave us Jesus, and through his death, his body on a cross, his blood pouring on the ground, that body, that blood rescued us, delivered us, comforted us. Let's let this memory of Jesus do that. And then let's spend a good amount of time just thanking God. Thanking God for the comfort we've received. Thanking God for the comfort that others have received. Thanking God for the deliverance he's given us. Thanking God for the deliverance he's given others. And still praying for the people we want to see comforted.